Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Well, good afternoon, and you know what? Thanks for joining us. It's Alan Mitchell joining you live on Nation Radio, Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. Our email address is nationradio@team1260.com, and we can call as well as 426-TEAM-426-8326. Nation Radio focuses on Oilers' past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. And today, we've got guests including Jonathan Willis from Oilers Nation, Kent Wilson from Flames Nation, and in the second hour, Ian Walker from the Vancouver Sun, and Brian Hayes from AM 640 in Toronto. So a very busy show. What we're basically doing is talking deadline. It's on everybody's mind. Lots of things happening today, including some unusual pickups on the waiver wire. Players claimed on waivers. This is courtesy of Bob McKenzie. Sturm from LA to Washington. Rave from Buffalo to Columbus on reentry. That's probably a good pickup for the Blue Jackets. And Boynton from Chicago to Philadelphia. And they apparently, according to McKenzie, assigned temporarily James Van Riemsdyk to the AHL to make room for Boynton. With Pronger out, Philadelphia needs both Boynton and Gustafson right now. So that's a short-term item, but an interesting one, and one that we'll follow throughout the day, and we'll keep you updated on any trades and deals that happen. Some unusual deals today as well, including Rob Schremp on waivers. You may want to talk about that, and you, of course, can give us a call at 426-TEAM-426-8326. Our first guest today is Jonathan Willis, who is a pretty popular writer. Got an email today from Summit Tripathy, and he says, not really a question, more of a fan email. I'm a big fan of Jonathan Willis. Must say, it's his work that introduced me to the in-depth statistical side of hockey and helped me to understand and appreciate the game in its true essence. He loves him on Oilers Nation and Copper and Blue, and then Hockey or Die as well. So I guess I picked the right individual to talk to first. Jonathan Willis joined us on the phone. Jonathan, how are you today?
I'm great, Alan. How are you?
Good. That's a pretty good introduction, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're in Fort St. John right now?
I'm actually just in Hythe.
Okay.
Right now.
What's the weather there?
Pretty good. I mean, you can't complain when it's like this in February, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, did you watch the Oilers game last night? Did you catch that?
No, I wasn't able to catch last night's game, and it sounds like I was better off.
Yeah, it was one of those. Dubnyk had one of his few, I think, off nights. He let in a couple of goals, and the Oilers just, you know, it's a young team, and they definitely didn't look as good as they have in the past little while, especially at 5-5, but they just looked a little bit out of it last night, and Tom Reddy had a vanilla comment, and I think that was apropos. Lots of rumors involving the Oilers. Last year, Steve Tambellini made four deals around the deadline, all involving defensemen, a minor league deal that sent Cody Wild away, and then he sent Steve Staios, Dennis Grabeshkov, and Lubomir Visnovsky away. Jonathan, do you think the team will be busier than last year or less busy?
I suspect it's probably going to be in the same range. We've heard a lot of rumors about the forwards, but I know you've been emphasizing the value of defensemen at the deadline, and I have a very similar view. I think the biggest movers are likely to be depth defensemen on the team.
Bob McKenzie was on TSN on Wednesday night, and obviously everybody listens closely to Bob. He said he felt LA wouldn't deal Braden Schenn, but were interested in Hemsky, and then there might be some middle ground there. And I know that you follow prospects pretty well. Do the Kings have the kind of quality required, either with a Simmons and a prospect or possibly a pick, in your opinion, to get a deal done without including Schenn for Hemsky?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't think it'll be the names that we hear a lot about, Colton Hubert and Thomas Hickey, just because I think those are mid-range prospects and the Oilers have comparable guys in the system. The guy that jumps out to me, and not just to me, I know others have mentioned him as well, is Vyacheslav Voinov, who's had a phenomenal year in the American League, both this year and last year, young defenseman. And I think if he was the main prospect coming back, that along with a pick or a good player like Simmons, that might be enough to get a deal for Hemsky done.
Jonathan, does he duplicate the Petrie skills, or is he a little bit different as a player?
Well, there is some overlap there. I think Petrie has a wider range of skills, but my view of Voinov is that he has more potential to be an elite offensive defenseman at the NHL level than maybe Petrie does. Although I have to admit, I was impressed with Petrie's professional season this year.
Yeah, he really has played well. Do you think, just an aside on Petrie, I think he lost a little bit of confidence, much like Chorney did just before he was injured, and I think maybe one more trip, when he comes back, I think he'll come up after the deadline, and I think he'll be here for a long time. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, depending on what they get back and what they send away, but if they send away Snead or Foster or Vandermeer, I think Petrie's the logical call-up, and I don't think there's anybody else in the system who's close. Frankly, even though he did slow down a bit there before he was sent down, I was surprised by that because the whole team was slow at the time.
Yeah. Washington is apparently after Hemsky, too, and there were some rumors about Penner as well. Anything from their prospect pile that you find interesting? Cody Eakin, the Kuznetsov, the Russian kid?
I have to admit that with the Capitals, if they're looking for a top player like Penner or Hemsky, I think the Oilers really have to try hard to get John Carlson out of there. I don't think Washington would deal Carlson, but that's definitely the star prospect in my mind. After him, people mention Carl Walsner a lot. I'm less enthused with their prospect base.
Right. You had to mentioned possibly a goalie coming here, but that's a non-starter, right?
Yeah, I don't see why the Oilers would do that unless something's happened. Well, because they have Devan Dubnyk in the system. He's played fairly well this year. And beyond that, if Abby Boulin's going out, you probably want to bring in a veteran to replace him. So I don't see why they would add another young goaltender at this point.
This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. I'm Alan Mitchell. Glad to have you along today. We're in conversation with Jonathan Willis from OilersNation.com. In that same article, Jonathan, Eric DeHatsik mentioned that Hemsky is beginning to look a little bit, or at least might be looking a little bit, like the new Alexei Kovalov, extremely talented player who can't deliver consistently. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Not at all. I think that's a ridiculous assessment of Hemsky's talent. Hemsky's been a consistent offensive producer for years in Edmonton, despite injuries, despite it all. I know that we as Oilers fans maybe tend to overrate players on the roster, but Hemsky never seems to get his due from the mainstream media outside of Edmonton.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that there's always the power play that comes into the fore, or that he turns the puck over in bad places. But the guy outperforms in terms of Corsi, in terms of scoring chances, and 5x5 is 60. His rate running right now at a rapid rate. So I think he's a guy that the Oilers should keep.
Well, we've never seen Alex Hemsky on a really competent power play. The Oilers' power play has been it's been one-dimensional since he's got here, and people tend to put the blame on him sometimes, I think, because he's the best player on the unit. But I'd be very curious to see what he could do on a top-flight power play where he isn't asked to be the main component every night. I know Darren Dreger the other day mentioned him as a very good second-line player, and I don't see how you can come away with that after tracking him with any kind of closeness, because he does play the top players, and he's an offensive difference maker even on a lousy team with minimal support. He's a golden offensive player, and he's a capable two-way guy. And if it weren't for the injuries, he'd be a much higher rated, I think.
Jonathan, I'm going to change gears a little bit and talk about Penner now for a minute. Bob McKenzie, again, in the same item that I mentioned on TSN the other night, he suggested Penner's value would be well shy of Hemsky's on the open market here at the deadline. How close is their value, in your opinion?
Well, I think their overall value, because of the injuries to Hemsky, is probably pretty comparable. But on the trade front, I don't know if that value, I don't know if that translates into a trade. For the Oilers, I think they're comparable, but if you're a contending team this year, I think a healthy Hemsky is worth more than a healthy Penner. And if you're looking, and I mean a team buying this year, obviously Hemsky has another year on his contract, but they're probably focused on this playoff run, and I would see Hemsky as a more valuable piece. But for the Oilers, I think their value is probably comparable if their willingness to re-sign in Edmonton is comparable.
We've been talking a lot about the forwards so far, but as I mentioned, as we talked about earlier, defensemen usually are the currency at the deadline. Ladislav Smead's gotten a lot of interest, and you had an article for Hockey or Die, I think it was about 10 days ago, so give me a quick sketch of that article and the argument you made about not dealing Smead right now.
Well, basically, we've all heard the rumor, Smead to Nashville. And Dan Tanser and Ryan Rashaga both mentioned it, and they're very credible sources, obviously. My argument is it obviously depends on return. Jonathan Blum is a name we hear a lot of, and if that were to return, I think it would probably change my opinion in a hurry. But the idea of trading Schmid for probably realistically a second-round draft pick is a non-starter for me. He's a young defenseman. Edmonton put in, obviously, it's a sunk cost, the amount of time Edmonton spent developing him, but he's at the point in his career now where he's done, or he's close to being finished his development curve, and you could see him step into a top four role as a strong, big defensive defenseman, and that's a player the Oilers need, so I don't see why they would spend all that time developing him, and he's still a very young player, a young NHL veteran, and deal him when the team is going to need players exactly like that.
Right, and you've invested all that time, and then in this case, the Chicago Blackhawks get the completed player at 25, and all the warts are off, sort of thing, or at least most of them. What value do you put on Jim Vandermeer? Last year, the Oilers got a third rounder and Aaron Johnson rental for Steve Staios. Is that ballpark or a little high for Vandermeer?
I thought that ballpark was high for Steve Staios, frankly.
It was.
Obviously, Dan Bellini did a great job getting that return from Sutter for Staios. Jim Vandermeer, I think the Oilers' approach at the deadline has to be get whatever you can for him. His contract expires at the end of this year, so there's no value in holding on to him. I would expect a late-round pick, maybe a fifth-round pick, but then I've been surprised at the value that I'm always surprised at what general managers are willing to pay for veteran defensemen at the deadline, so that may be low.
Yeah, I think it's fear a lot, too. I always use the Buffalo Sabres 2006 example, but when you run out of defensemen, you know, you really need that guy who can just chip it off the wall and play a dependable game, and if you don't have them, you're in real trouble playing young players. What about Andrew Cogliano? Do you think there's a pump and dump going on with him getting Hall and Eberle as his wingers here the last little while, or is it something Tom Rennie's seen in his game and he sees real improvement?
I don't think it's a pump and dump happening because the Oilers have been bad at doing that in the past. Last year, the obvious target for a pump and dump was Gilbert Brulé, and they hung on to him. So when their young players perform well, they keep them. What's happening with Cogliano, I think he has a real ally in Tom Rennie. He was lost last year under Quinn, and Rennie has shown confidence in Cogliano almost regardless of what the results are. And we've seen him elevated up the lineup time and again. I think Rennie likes his skill set, and I think he's going to stay with the team because he obviously has a backer in the coach.
The Oiler fan base becomes a house divided on sometimes the most unusual players, and this year it appears to me that Ryan Jones is that player. Do you see him as being someone that they should sign longer term or a guy that they might want to offload here for a pick or a prospect?
A definite no to signing Ryan Jones long term, and I say that with all due respect to Jones because there's no question that he works his butt off every night. But the thing with Ryan Jones is when you track scoring chances in particular, and all the shot metrics, all the advanced stats show the same thing, but scoring chances, he has a very bad numbers by that metric. His line is consistently outchanced when he's on the ice. It doesn't matter if he's on the fourth line or the second line. His line, night after night, is outchanced. And I think right now I don't see him being able to be an effective two-way player going forward. I think he's probably a fourth-line guy, and I think if a team values him more than a fourth, then you would value a fourth line, and the Oilers should trade him because he's not a piece they're going to miss. He's not an essential piece.
This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. I'm Alan Mitchell, and we're joined by Jonathan Willis from Oilers Nation. And we're going to, Jonathan, just change things a little bit and look forward past the deadline with the Oilers and into the summertime and some of the decisions they're going to be making. One of the items that you wrote for Oilers Nation not long ago was discussing a buyout of Sheldon Surrey. Do you think that's fait accompli now he's done with the organization?
Yes. I think him clearing reentry waivers sealed the deal that I felt was probably the last chance for him to catch on somewhere else under his current contract, and I fully expect the team to buy him out.
Yeah, and you also wrote an item called Timelines talking about the Oilers and how they could contend in 12-13, keeping Hemsky and Penner and moving forward. Realistically, and you can name them if you want in terms of their position, how many players do you think this team is away from being a real contender for eighth place in the Western Conference?
I think they're basically an entire third line and probably two defensemen away.
Yeah.
I think there's some distance there, and I don't think Steve Tambellini has the sort of aggressive time frame I'd like to see them build in. I don't think he has that in mind. Kevin Lowe's comments the other day about 4 to 6 years from contention sort of sealed that for me. But I think it's something that can be done because the players they need, like, they have the talent. There's no question they have the talent. The young players they have are very good. Hemsky and Penner are two quality pieces. And I think what they need to do now is shore up depth, add quality NHL veterans who are not that expensive, who can play roles that rookies generally are not very good at. We've seen it happen before. Philadelphia is a prime example of a team that turned it around quickly. But realistically, I don't think the Oilers are going to look at doing that. I think we'll see status quo for a while.
Yeah, I think what we'll see in a lot of ways is someone like Anton Lander moving in as the fourth line centerman next year and skipping AHL, or if he does play in the AHL, he would be an early call-up. It seems like there's a real tendency among the Oilers, right now at least, to move up the prospects as soon as they feel they're ready.
Yeah, and I think that's... Well, we've seen what happens when we have a team full of rookies. The team does not play well. And you can't expect players to jump fully formed out of the minor leagues and handle check-in assignments in the NHL. They don't have the defensive game to do it. I think we've seen that time and again, and teams other than Edmonton have shown it too. But at the same time, if that seems to be the mindset, and I don't see them going the veteran route, I think you're right that they will rely on the prospects, and I think it'll be a bumpy road for a few years while those prospects get thrown into the fire.
Have you followed the waiver wire this morning? DJ King and Rob Schrempf are on the waivers?
No, I just heard that when you mentioned it earlier.
Are you, any interest there from you?
No. they've seen everything they need to see from Schrempf, and his skill set is redundant. I mean, nothing against Schrempf. I think Schrempf can be a useful player at the NHL level. I've been consistent with that. My very first article as a writer was about Rob Schrempf and how he could be a useful player in a given role. But I don't think he's an upgrade on Linus Omark. And I don't think that the Oilers' perceived toughness issues can be solved with fourth line guys.
Yeah, and good to bring the entire conversation full circle, when you're going to suffer through those growing pains with Linus Omark, why bring a Rob Schrempf in all over again, right? We've moved on.
Definitely.
Jonathan, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. We want to have you back again soon.
Anytime, Alan. It's always a pleasure.
All right, that's Jonathan Willis on Nation Radio. He's from OilersNation.com, and you can catch him several places, Copper and Blue as well, and Hockey or Die, the score blog, which is an excellent one that you might not pick up on an everyday basis, but they do some really good work, not specifically Oiler-related, but when Jonathan's writing, it's usually about the Oilers. Have a few emails to pass along. Gord McQueen says, your opinion on Hemsky to Phoenix, what would be a reasonable return? I do have later on in the show 10 for the Oilers, a list of 10 players that I think the Oilers might want to look at the deadline. They're not obviously at Hemsky caliber. I wouldn't think they'd be a legitimate return for Hemsky, but we'll talk about that. And I hadn't heard anything on Hemsky to Phoenix, but Phoenix trying to make the playoffs, it does make a little bit of sense at some level. And we have something from Matt Fenwick, who will no doubt be a guest on our show at some point in time as well. He writes, this will be the seventh straight season in which the Flames finish ahead of the Oilers in the standings. Any prediction on when or if the streak will end? And sometime before I die, I would think would be a really good answer. No, I think the Oilers will. I think they'll be better next year. And then after that, I think they're going to be looking to contend. But it really depends on a lot of things, like Hemsky and Penner, and if they can sign a third line center who can penalty kill, and maybe a Fernando Pisani type up front during the summertime, or trade for one. And then they really need to, I think if you look at the Oilers in the way on defense, if you look at their depth chart and you say, okay, Ryan Whitney can slot in on the top pairing, Tom Gilbert's in there on the top four, and then you've got Petrie, and you've also got Peckham, those two guys who can maybe use in the top six. As Jonathan said, you have two defensemen in there you've got to find, and maybe Curtis Foster will have a better year next year. It sometimes takes one full year for free agents to adjust, but there's definitely some holes there, and I don't think they'll be contending next year. Okay, this is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. I'm Alan Mitchell, and we'll be back right after this.